Put the back
next to it on the switch, right?
I'll have to manage with that. Is it Yossi? Is that on?
Yeah.
Video is on also? Looks like it's not really facing me.
No,
no. You sure?
Yeah.
Okay, because it's facing that way. Right. Sorry. Okay. I want to look right. Right. Shkai, thank you very much. Okay. Good morning, Rabbi Isai. Rabbi Nachman David spoke to me on Thursday night about preparing a shiur, or if I could give a shiur Sunday morning. He said he had a cancellation, so Baruch Hashem, I think, like somebody once said, every person has to have a vart up his sleeve. I think every Rav has to have some form of shiur up his sleeve, and hopefully whatever he's learning normally can translate into something that he can give over to other people as well. Whatever it is, whether it's Gemara, whether it's Halacha, whether it's Chumash, whatever it is, it has to be not only for himself, it has to be something that's for the tzibur. So, I was learning the halachas of kosher with a chavrus of mine, so I'd like to discuss some of the halachas of kosher. We'll see how much of it we'll get through kosher and matter on Shabbos. Let's make a start and let's see what we get through. I think it's possible to get through most of it in half an hour, but we'll see what we get through. Okay, so let's start first of all. Kosher existed in the Mishkan in one of two instances. Some say it was because they had to make a net to trap the chilazon. In order to be able to trap the chilazon, to be able to make the techeles that they needed to make nets. In order to make nets, they had to make knots. So therefore, that lends itself to the malacha of kosher. The other halacha, which is brought in Talmud Yerushalmi, is kosher was necessary when they made different curtains. They weren't allowed to sew things together, and they had to find a way of tying them together. And so there were two ways that they used to do kosher. So let's define, first of all, I think the most important thing is whenever you start with a malacha, you start with defining your terms. And once you define the terms, then you have a better idea of what is allowed, what's not allowed, what is deraisa, what is derabbanon, what are you bichlal talking about? You know, if you were speaking in Bishul, if somebody said to you, Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni, I remember years ago, I was in Cheder, and they came to Halacha Seder. We had Halacha Seder, and the Rebbe was teaching Hilchas Bishul. And I wasn't so much into Halacha at the time, and I was in my own little world. And the Rebbe called on me, and he called on one or two other boys. He goes, okay, what's a Kli Rishon? Kli Sheni. Irui Kli Rishon. And we all looked at him with blind faces. He said, I've been doing this for 2 weeks. You don't even know what I'm talking about. Like, if you don't know what Kli Rishon is, maybe you don't know what the halacha of Kli Rishon is. But if you don't even know what a Kli Rishon is, you're really missing something. You're missing a trick. So when it comes to kosher as well, we need to discuss what it is that are the main concepts you need to know for kosher. And then we're going to move on from that. So first of all, the concept of kosher is tying two things together. It's similar to teufer. Teufer is sewing. Kosher is knotting two things together. However, when it comes to teufer, when it comes to sewing two things together, what happens is you have two separate things that you tie together that become one entity. And it would need a significant change to really bring them apart again. Whereas kosher, you're taking two things and you're bringing them together, but you can just take them apart and they'll be back to normal. When you tie a double knot, even if you were to tie a double knot in your shoe, we'll speak about double knots later, or a knot and a bow, whatever you're going to tie on your shoe, you just give it a bit of a pull, or sometimes if you have a double knot, it gets really stuck, you're going to have to take it apart, but then at one point or another, your shoelace is back to normal. You're back to the same shoelace you started with. Whereas with teufer, you've taken two different pieces, you've sewn them together and made a new thing, and that's not what happens in kosher. It's just intertwining two things. So how much do they need to become intertwined for that to be a problem? So we're going to discuss a few concepts, and then we're going to see the machlokes between the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam, and it's important to have that machlokes in mind as we go through the halachas of kosher, and we'll see what we can or cannot do with this. So let's start with the first. The first concept is what's called a kesher shakayom. As you'd expect, even that has a bit of a machlokes what it means, but a kesher shakayom, briefly said, means that you have a knot that is made and that will either, so here's this is going to be the question, either it is the type of knot that potentially could remain forever. There's certain knots that are very, very flimsy. You make the knot, within an hour, 2 hours, 5 hours, the knot is gone, it's going to come apart. There's certain knots, you tie them. If nobody unties this knot, you could come back 10 years later, it's still there. So that's one form of kesher shakayama, a very tight knot. And the other idea that comes with kesher shakayama, which is also important, is going to be the permanence of the knot. Meaning to say, let's say I am making a double knot, which I want to undo in 20 minutes' time. So there already, you're getting into the question, is this a kesher shakayama? Is this a type of knot that is going to remain forever? So is it strong enough to remain forever? Yes. Is the intention for it to remain forever? For absolutely not. So you have these two things that are going to be squaring off against each other that you'll have to work out, so we're going to come to that. We're also going to see what kind of time periods are necessary in order for something to be considered just a temporary kesher. Then you have the Rabbon on the middle size kesher, and then you have the Dairaisa, which will be the full-flung kesher, kesher shel kayom. Okay? Next, we also have a concept that's known as a kesher of an umman. A kesher of an umman is an artisan's knot. There are two knots that are mentioned in the Mishnah, and that's kesher ha-gamolim and kesher ha-saponim. Gamolim are camels, and saponim are sailors. So you used to have, in the olden days, I think even nowadays, if you would go to Eretz Yisrael, the Bible should be able to go. You know, I don't even know if with the rules and everything, you can go. But let's say you could go to Eretz Yisrael. I remember we went to Eretz Yisrael. One year we went when we were kids. We went to the coastal, and after we came out of the coastal, there were these Arab fellows that had camels there. And you could pay them, I don't know, 5-10 shekels, and you could sit on the camel for 5 minutes, and you could take pictures or whatever else it was. So the camels there, they used to have, I don't know how the camels allowed themselves to that have to be done to them, but somehow they had made a hole between the two nostrils, and they had put in a ring there, and then you have a string that is tied to that ring, and if the camel wants to or doesn't want to come with you, you give it one pull. I don't know about you, but if I got pulled by my nose like that, I'd be going in every direction this camel, you know? You'd be pulled in that direction, you're coming, I'm coming with you. So that's the camel. It's a lot less, I think it's a lot more, it seems a lot more violent than what they do for dogs. Dogs just get around that. I think around the neck is not so nice either, but around in the nose is really hard. So they have this thing through the nose, and then what they used to do is this, gamolim, those camel leaders, whatever they are, these the people that used to drag the camels with them, they used to bring people on the camels, they used to take a rope, and they used to tie it to that nose ring, and then they'd be able to pull the rope with them. And that rope would stay there indefinitely, basically. And so therefore you have a rope that's been tied indefinitely to a ring, and it was tied, it seems it was tied with a special knot. We don't know what these knots look like nowadays, but that's why it was tied with a special knot. That's called the kesher hagamolim. The kesher saponim is for sailors. Again, many of you have seen this. This is easier to see. I remember even I was in Saltwell Park in the summer. So if you go boating over there on the boating lake, as soon as the boat comes in, they have a bit of a string, and they tie. You can do it in Heaton Park as well. You see it. They have, like, at the end of the boat, you have like a ring that's been welded onto the boat, and you have a bit of a rope, and you take the rope, you put it through that ring, and they make a certain knot, and that's it. The boat stays there. Within reason, I mean, it gives the boat a bit of room so that when the water moves, the boat has some wiggle room. But if you keep it there, they know what they're doing with these knots, it's made so that the boat shouldn't go away. If you made a knot like that, that wasn't Shaina Shel Kayomi, you'll come tomorrow to find your boat somewhere in the middle of the boating lake. You don't want to find it like that. So therefore, they have these knots, they know how to make these knots that are going to be permanent knots. Those are the two Kesher Umma that we have described in the Gemara. And therefore, there are those that say, we'll come to this in a minute, we'll come to this soon, there are those that say that in order to be chayiv on Shabbos, you have to make a kesher umman, you have to make a specialist knot. Anything which is a normal knot that, you know, the regular chevra like you and I can make, it's nothing. That's irrelevant. That's not kesher umman. And then you have, huh? We're coming to that, we're coming to that. 1 second. Okay? Now, you have, and then you have what's called a kesher hedyot. A double knot will be considered a kesher hedyot. Okay? That's not, everybody can make a double knot. My 5-year-old can make a double knot. So that's not a kesher umman. I think people, I don't know anybody personally that went to do this kind of thing, but I think if you went to scouts, anybody ever go to scouts? Yeah? In the scouts, they teach you how to make knots. I never understood why they had to teach you. I mean, what are these people tying together that they need to learn how to make knots with? But okay, but they learn how to make, they learn how to make special knots. It's one of the things you learn in Boy Scouts. Fine. So those are specialist knots. You go there, they want, it's not just a slip knot that a normal person makes. They'll show you, put this one here, and this one here, and this one, you pull, and cut, you have a knot. Yeah? And then you have to learn how to do it. That's a kesher umman. A double knot, not a kesher umman, that's a kesher hedyot.
Even though it doesn't open for years.
Well, we're coming to that. Well, one second. Yeah, okay, so slowly, one thing at a time. So we're just defining our terms at the moment, okay? Now, that's what's called, that's a kesher umman and not a kesher umman. Now we get to the problem, which is the following. That nowadays, we don't really know what is considered a kesher umman and what's not considered a kesher umman. And therefore, the Ramah is machmer and says anything that remains for long term could be considered a kesher umman. Because we don't know. Who's to say that this is or this isn't a kesher umman? Who said this is a better? And therefore, what we come out with, let's start with a little bit with the halacha, and we still have a few more things to mention. Well, let's start. Let's get into it. So there's a shittas Rambam. The Rambam says that there are three dargas, as does Rashi, but the Rambam's three dargas, the Rambam's three tiered system works like this. If you have a knot that is a kesher umman, so a specialized knot, and B, also meant to stay for long term, let's define at the moment as more than 7 days, let's leave it at that, then it is also midaraisa. To make such a knot is also midaraisa. If you have a knot which is going to stay long term but is a simple knot, or you have a very complicated knot which is not going to stay long term, that's only derabbanan. The Rambam's of the opinion, in order for you to be over the Issur Deraisa of Kosher on Shabbos, you need two things. Number one, a knot which is long term. Number two, a specialist knot. If one of the two is missing, it's already only a knot which is derabbanan, it's not a knot which is deraisa. Lastly, we have another thing, which is a knot that doesn't fulfill either of the two things. So if you have a knot that is also a very simple knot, as well as a knot that you're going to open up within, let's call it 24 hours, it's not considered, pardon me, when you speak about knots and not, I'm sorry, you know, it's the other issue when you speak about not bar not. There's a few times where this comes up in halacha where you have to be very careful. So this is not considered a K-N-O-T, a knot. This is not considered a knot, right? That's the Rambam's opinion. Rashi says, we don't know what is what nowadays. Kesher gamolim, kesher saponim, what is, what isn't. And as was mentioned by Rav Shimon in the back before, you make a double knot. That's going to stay there for long term. It's a very simple knot. So therefore, Rashi says it's nothing to do with the type of knot that you make, but rather it's all to do with the length of time that the knot is going to be made for. And therefore, according to Ramah, according to Rashi and according to Ramah, the Ashkenazim, the Sfaradim passing like the Rambam that we mentioned before, but according to Ramah, according to the Ashkenazim, you have the following halacha. If you have a knot that is going to be made for less than 24 hours, fine. If you have a knot that is going to be made for between 24 hours and 7 days, that is derabbanan. And if you have a knot which is going to be made for longer than 7 days, that is deoraisa. Okay? That is Rashi. So we have a machlokes between the Rambam and Rashi, as we said before. Rambam is of the opinion that it has to do with both the professionalism of the knot and the length of time, whereas Rashi drops the professionalism entirely and he says it's all about the length of time. 24 hours, okay. More than 24 hours, up to 7 days. Derabonon, more than 7 days, deraisa. That's your different 3 daggers in Rashi, 3 daggers in the Rambam, machlokes also between Shulchan Aruch and Rambam. Okay? Now, you have other things that we will discuss now, which is number one. Let's say you have a knot which is always done for long term, and you're doing it short term. Or you have a knot that's always done short term, and you're doing it long term. Okay, so that's all these discussions that you have to have. So for example, let's get into practicism. Let's talk about, yeah. Okay, we're going to come back to Thai. Thai will have to be further down the line. Okay, we have to... Thai we will probably not get to today. Let's see what happens. So let's say, for example, a knot for your shoes. Let's come on to that. So I would say, for example, with shoes, it depends on who you're dealing with. Are you dealing with a teenage boy? Or are you dealing with a regular individual? Now, why do I say that? I don't know about you, but most teenage boys that I know, they make a knot once Sunday morning, if that. And then what happens? You use the back of you use a shoe to pull out one side, you use the back of the foot to pull out the other side. And then when you put back the shoe on, what happens? You have to ruin the shoe. You know, you have to stick your foot down on it and twist and turn and turn. Ah, you get in. Somehow that's easier than making a knot and untying the knot every single time. Yeah, that's you know... Kaha Ubda. This seems to be what happens with teenage boys. In general. Oh, okay, but one second. But you've made it now for long term. According to Rashi, if you're planning on making it for long term, you'll have an issue over there. And even according to Rambam, it'll be the Rabbonon. So we'll have this is the issue. So let's say your shoe becomes untied on Shabbos. Yeah? Here's where you have a problem. Yeah, your shoe becomes untied on Shabbos. If you're a regular person that ties their shoes and unties their shoes, so a bow, which usually what you do is you a slip knot and then a bow on top of it, that's a temporary knot. Everybody will hold that's mutter to do, and chances are you're going to be taking off your shoes at one point or another, at least when you go to sleep tonight. So even if you tied your shoes this morning at 9 o'clock before you went to shul, and you go to shul and you keep them on, and you didn't have a Shabbos shuv and it went to Matzah Shabbos, but at one point or another, within 24 hours, you'll untie that knot, and that is 100% mutter. Okay? Except if you're a teenage boy, and you tie your shoe in the morning, on Shabbos morning, and it sometimes stays till Wednesday or Thursday because you've pulled your foot out. You know, Thursday morning you looked at, oh, it's untied. But you've not had to tie your shoes for 5 days. Don't get nervous. Okay? But he's going to have to retie his shoe on Thursday. So if he's tying his shoe on Shabbos and he's untying it or retying it on Thursday, then you have an issue because you've just made a knot that's been longer than 24 hours.
Well,
that's an issue, yeah, right? So there you get into problems. There's certain things that you wear only on Shabbos and you make a knot for it and you can take it off and the next week you'll redo the knot. Yeah, so you have a problem. Coming back to ties, I just mentioned the ties also as an aside, but we're not getting into ties yet because the question with ties, can you tie it as a kesher woman, as not a kesher woman? There's this other question that go into ties. But there are people, so there are different types of people. I'll tell you, for example, I'll give you a personal thing. I usually wear the same tie the entire week. I choose a tie on Sunday and I wear it through the, you know, through to Friday. Next week, Sunday, I'll choose a different one. So what do you do? So you don't like make the knot because, you know, I get dressed in the morning, you put on your tie. You come home for lunch, you take off your tie. You get dressed back going out, you put on your tie. You come home for supper. I like to take off my tie when I come home. It just makes you feel like you're not at work now. Yeah, I'm home, you open up your tie, you give it a bit of a tug, you pull it, you loosen it, you take it off, you put it back, you loosen, you straighten it again, done. Now, if you make your tie once on Sunday morning, and you undo it on Friday, then even if we were to say that your tie, that in making a tie, and again, I've not even said this, please don't say that I've said this, but even if we were to say that making a tie is called a kesher hedyot and not a kesher uman, it's a simple kesher, not a professional kesher, but I tie it on Sunday and untie it on Friday. So, okay, so it's not Shabbos, it's not an issue, but if it was Shabbos, if I tied my tie on Shabbos, and then I wore it till next week Shabbos, by which point I chose to wear a different tie, so I made a knot on Shabbos, and I kept it all the way till Friday, that's 7 days, that's really problematic. It's only when you tie a tie, and you're the kind of person that puts on a tie on Friday night, or puts on a tie Shabbos morning, and as soon as you finish wearing the tie, you take it apart. Now, many people take their ties apart right away because they feel that, you know, they're expensive, and, you know, if they stay knotted up together like this, then they get all crinkled, and they don't look nice, and by the time the next time you tie them, they're going to look all funny. So some people are very, very particular about their ties. I know my brother, for example, he's got very expensive ties, he's very particular about them. Every tie gets, like, folded, and, you know, you make nice to it, and everything, and it's pulled in a certain way, and it's got, like, a little, like, you know, the people, they have, like, these things they zip open and close to put the ties in, have, like, a special tie bag. Okay, but some people are like, you know, it's a cheap tie, it's £5, you put it on, you wear it, when it's done, you know, you wear it as long as you can. So it depends on the kind of person that you are. A lot of this is going to be very subjective because the halachas of kesha are very subjective. They are subjective in that way. Okay? So, when you have shoes, that's going to be the thing. Now, the other way around also, but let's say now you have the other, let's just discuss the other thing as well. Let's say you have a knot that most people make long-term, and you've decided to make this short-term. You've decided that, for me, I just want this for the next couple of hours. Most people would have such a knot, they keep it for a few days, maybe even a couple of weeks. Then you have an issue. Because Chazal said that we're worried you're going to make a knot, and it's a knot that's normally kept for long-term, and even though you had in mind to untie it, you might forget. You say, oh, you know what? This is really gilungin. It worked. It worked. Not only that, I rarely make a knot that looks that nice. Let me keep it. Yeah? You have women that have some very, what they call decorative bows. So sometimes she'll make a bow and it's hanging over here, over there, wherever it might be. And sometimes it just comes out really nice. So if it comes out really nice, she'll look at it and she'll say, ah, about to take it apart. I'm not going to be able to tie it tomorrow to look as nicely as I've done now. So you have an issue. Because if it's the kind of thing that people would keep for long term, even if she originally had intended it for being short term, since it is something that certain people do keep for long term, so then it's awesome.
A bow is not a knot.
But if it's kept for long term, it's still a problem. Remember, as we said, even though it's not a kesher shel kayama, a bow is defined as a temporary knot until it's not temporary.
Is it classed as a kesher, a bow?
It is classed as enough of a kesher that if you've kept it for longer than 24 hours, that it's going to be problematic to rabbanon, for sure. So now, what about the other way around? Sometimes you have it the other way around, and there already might be easier. So let's say you have a temporary knot that normally gets untied early on. So you made your temporary knot, you're going to untie it in the next couple of hours, and for whatever reason, it turns out that you didn't end up untying it, and your foot came out of the shoe somehow without it, even though you hadn't planned, I knew your foot came out of the shoe, and you say, you know what, leave it. And it's now stayed for more than 24 hours. What would you say in that instance? In that instance, a person is not over anything. Why? Pardon? Correct. So therefore, here the story was, when he made the knot, what kind of knot was it? Temporary. When he made the knot, what was his original intention? Also temporary. Even then, so therefore, the knot was made in a mutter dikereifen. If then the circumstances change, we don't say that now lemafreya we take a knot that was mutter and change it to an osa dikere knot. Because when you made the knot, that was a mutter. That was the knot that you made was mutter to be made. Okay. So now, one of the other things I will say is that even refastening a knot that has already existed could be problematic. And this is something that many people have. I'll speak about tzitzis. Maybe this is the last thing we'll speak about for today. Excuse me. Tzitzis. Right? So you have different things that could happen with tzitzis. Anybody who's ever put the tzitzis in the washing machine, I don't recommend it. I used to put my tzitzis in the washing machine. You take them out, but you get, I don't know how they do that. It's the only thing, it's the only thing that's worse than a wire. I don't know, you take a wire, you tie it up really nicely, you put it in a bag, you bring it out, I don't know what happened. Inside the bag, the wire decided to get all tied up into knots. So you take it out, it takes 5 minutes to take it apart. So you're taking your tits, and put them in the washing machine. Oh, you know. Oh, Shia, there's no reason you sell them again, tits. That's what you do. That's